Sylvia and me.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Upper Deck, the national full-service virtual gym that has reinvented the at-home workout experience. Upper Deck has more than 30 strength and cardio classes a week. Named Best Fitness Club in the Gold Coast for 2020, Upper Deck brings the gym to you with live coaching and motivation. Upper Deck's unique classes are interactive. They have two coaches, one leading your workout and one keeping her eyes on you, providing feedback and encouragement in real time. For a free week of unlimited virtual classes with no strings attached, email info@upperdeckfitness.com and let Upper Deck know you're a Sylvia and Me listener. Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, I'm Janae Luciani. I am the best-selling author of The Bra Book, which is now in second edition, and you're watching Sylvia and Me.
Well, I hope, they might be watching. And, you know, welcome. I'm so glad, Janae, you were able to get together today. Where are you located anyway?
I am in Schenectady, New York.
Okay, well, I'm in Connecticut. We are social distancing. And
yes.
So you started, you wrote two, you wrote three books.
Yes.
Gigi Gets a Bra, The other two that you mentioned. And mm-hmm. you've been called the bra celebrity, bra entrepreneur, and the fairy bra mother. So
yes.
Not everyone can say that they've been called that.
No.
Can you kind of back up and give a little bit of a background how you even, I was going to say got involved with bras, but as a woman,
yeah.
we wind up wearing them. But mm-hmm. that is, you know, your specialty. We'll go into that in a little bit, but a little bit of background.
Right. Of course, like all women, struggled with bras throughout my entire life. As a teenager, I developed with a deformity known as tubular breast syndrome. And I didn't know what it was at the time. It wasn't diagnosed, but it really impacted me mentally through those formative years as a teenager and then throughout college. And I just would call them my mutant boobs, right? And I was like afraid to tell anybody. I didn't even tell my parents. I hid it from boyfriends, if you can believe it. I hid it from friends. I was so ashamed about this. And so what I would do is I would go to Victoria's Secret, and I had to drive an hour to get there at the time because I grew up in a very small town in upstate New York. And I would go to Victoria's Secret and I would get the miracle bra where you could take out the padding on one side and leave it in the other side, and I would adjust it just so at least I would look normal under my clothing. And then when I started in my career right out of college, I got a job as a full-time producer at an NBC station, and I was making a paycheck. So I went to my parents and I said, you know, will you support me through this surgery? Not asking for financial support, just emotional support. And they literally didn't believe me. They were like, you're being too hard on yourself. How bad could it be? And I took my mother in the bedroom and I showed her, and she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you've been living with this all these years and didn't even tell anyone about it. So I ended up going to a reconstructive surgeon and getting a diagnosis of tubular breasts, finding out that, you know, when I was to have children one day, I likely wouldn't be able to breastfeed. Because often tubular breasts don't get milk, and there's all kinds of things that, you know, affected me with this, but obviously I'm grateful that it wasn't something that was life threatening. And I was able to correct the problem. When I went throughout my career and I was working in news and in journalism, I really always was drawn to fashion. My parents owned a clothing store when I was growing up, and I just loved like every aspect of clothes. And I love to shop. And so I figured out a way to kind of merge doing what I was doing in journalism, which I love writing and I love researching and I love the TV aspect, and merge that with fashion. So I started writing for a magazine You might know it because you're in Connecticut. It's a regional magazine in Westchester County called The Wag. Yes. And I pitched them the idea of a fashion column, and I became their fashion editor for 5 years. And that got me from the television stuff to into more print writing. And through that time, I was assigned an article on bras.
Well, and, can we back up yep, 1 second, and sure, then we'll get to the article. So yep, after you had the surgery, how did you mm-hmm, feel? I mean, did you feel different, or?
It was a pretty horrible experience. I had a really just bad time overall with the actual surgery, a really bad time with the anesthesia. And I just remember thinking, like, why did I put myself through this? But I felt like it was something I had to do because I felt like I would never feel normal, you know? So it wasn't a good experience, but I was able to wear a bathing suit without any padding. I was able to wear whatever shirt I wanted, and my breasts looked normal and like everybody else's. So mentally, it was definitely worth it. 5 years after that, I ended up getting a complication with one of the implants, and I had to go back under the knife and get it done again. So yep, I remember during that time was when I got the idea actually for the bra book from this article that I was assigned for the WAG. And I got the idea for the bra book, and I wrote my introduction. And at the time, I was just writing my story thinking I would pitch it to Cosmo or somebody like that. And it ended up being the introduction to my book. And in it, I wrote, "When will my breasts finally stop ruling my life?" And I said that obviously in a negative way, but it's funny because now they actually do rule my life, but in the most positive way. It became my life's mission to help other women with this topic. And I became an advocate for all these women. So it went from negatively affecting me to really positively affecting me. And I was able to build this brand, this multimedia brand around my passion for helping women with all things bras.
When you say that's your passion and helping, and how emotionally you felt so much better about yourself, yeah, and you felt more normal, and you were able to go into a store and buy things without having to figure out mm-hmm, what you would do. Mm-hmm. Women have so much trouble with this, and they don't even, you know, a lot don't realize it. And one of the things growing up is getting a bra that fits, making sure a bra fits.
Yes.
People don't understand that it's the foundation is what we build on.
Yep.
So you wrote mm-hmm, this article, which yep, wound up being the beginning of
the idea.
Your book.
Yeah.
Okay. So yep, then how did you wind up getting some movement on this?
Well, I remember I went to my editor at the time, Judy Letterman, and she was an author, a very successful author. She had been on Oprah and the Donahue Show, and she had a very successful book under her belt. And I went to her and I said, "This should be a book. All this research I'm doing, there's all these women out there, and they're like begging for information, and they're afraid to go to the stores. They don't want like some old lady groping them and then pushing them out the door with a $150 bra." Like, this True. Was the experience, right? I mean, you'd go into these specialty shops and it was a terrible experience, or you'd go into the Victoria's Secret and you'd get like a 14-year-old, you know, who's measuring you and you're like, "What? No, it doesn't make any sense." No one had any sort of education behind it, and it was very frustrating for women. So I said to Judy, you know, this should really be a book. There should be a guide for women. And this was 2006. So the publishing industry was still going strong. The internet was basically just chat rooms and message boards. Social media wasn't really a thing yet. You maybe had MySpace. It was just starting out. So this was when traditional publishing was the way to go. People weren't self-publishing. And I said to her, "I really feel like this would be a great book." And she said, "I agree. And you should do it." And I'm like, "Well, how do I go about writing a book? I don't know. I don't know how to write a book. I'm a writer, but I've never done this before." And she gave me a template to follow for a nonfiction book proposal. Okay. And I started the process. And of course, I was rejected by her agent in the city, who took months and months reviewing and then rejected me. And then I got a message I started doing my television, my on-air segments as a style expert. So I transitioned from producing to on-camera using my fashion column that I was writing for the WAG as my catalyst to get me booked on TV stations. And so I started going on camera, and I got this message on LinkedIn from a literary agency known as Ebeling and Associates. And they said, "We found you through one of our other authors. We love what you're doing. Do you happen to have any book ideas?" And I said, "Actually, I have this proposal ready to go." So I started the whole process with them, and they actually came up with the idea to pitch it to a bra company, to private label.
Okay.
So, which I did. Which I did. I brought it to Fashion Forums. I had met Ann Deal, the CEO of Fashion Forums, at a press event for the magazine. And she knew about the idea for the book. And I actually told her about it while I was at this press event before this idea of approaching her even came about. And she knew about the book already. And I had a family friend who was designing bras for her. So it kind of all worked out perfectly, because I remember saying to my agent, "Well, you can't just call up the CEO of a bra company and get them to invest $180,000 like off the bat in you." And he goes, "Sure you can." And then I racked my brain and I went, "Oh my gosh, Ann Deal. She loves the idea. I have a personal connection to her. This person can call her." So my friend Tara called her up, and within like 20 minutes, I had a response where she said, "Yes, absolutely. This book needs to be out there. I will put it in all of my stores. And we'll go from there." And so the publishing deal from that point on was easy. Ben Bella Books came with a really great offer, and they were a smaller mid-sized publisher at the time. They're a lot bigger now. And they were just an amazing partner on this. So that was like my dream coming true, basically. You know, not only professionally publishing a book, but bringing this book that this idea that hadn't been done yet. Was a little scary too at the same time, because you're like, okay, it hasn't been done yet, but there's been several bra related books since then. So you know, I like to say that I kind of started something in that
movement.
And then it was also in Lord & Taylor in the bra department, and Dillard's in the bra department there, and like I even went to Ireland and it was in a little specialty shop there. There was a display of my books. It was at the Oscars. So all these cool things really happened from it.
So what do you find is one of the biggest mistakes that women make when going out to buy a bra?
I think the biggest mistake is not being educated. So that's why I really wrote the bra book intending to not replace going to the store, not replace bra shopping, but to be a tool for you to get educated before you go. Like, I like to say that you aren't going to go car shopping without researching the car beforehand, right? Like, you don't just show up at the Toyota dealership and have no idea what what you're looking at. You do your research, and a bra is something that you're wearing every single day. And we all know the wrong one really ruins your day, right? Like, if you have an uncomfortable, painful bra on, your day is ruined. So this is something that we should really research. So the biggest mistake, I think, is women kind of walking in uneducated and then relying on the salesperson to tell them what looks and feels good to them. And then, you know, they don't understand how the fit works and how the sizing and the measurements work. So then you're saying, okay, the girl at Victoria's Secret told me I'm a 34B, but I have no idea why. And it doesn't feel right, and it still feels uncomfortable, and I have no idea what just happened, and I'm gonna throw it out the window. So I think the biggest mistake is just not doing just a little bit of research before you go, and understanding how a bra works.
Okay, so how do you get, you have the book and you hooked up with a manufacturer.
Uh-huh.
How do you reach women to really get them to understand that this is not just important, but it will help them really feel good about themselves, because they'll stand up taller, they'll wear stuff that they didn't. Actually, they'll stop wearing stuff that they shouldn't wear because now they fit better into certain things. How do you go about getting the word out?
Well, for a few years there, that was the big topic on the talk shows and on the Today Show and the morning shows. So I had a good span of 7 or 8 years where I was being booked on Dr. Oz and Bethany and Nate Berkus and you name it, Ricky Lake. I did an on-air measurement for her. I mean, all the shows were calling. Of course, I had to pitch a lot of them too and, you know, really actively reach out. But all of the shows were calling and everybody was covering this topic. So it was great because it was a good platform to really get the message out. And I think that the shows appreciated that I wasn't someone who owned a bra store. So I wasn't trying to sell you into expensive bras or anything. I would come on with like Bali and, you know, Playtex and Soma and all these like really accessible brands and explain to you how to find the best one for you within your budget and that sort of thing and how to get the perfect fit. So broadcast television was really a great platform all those years. In the past couple of years, they've seemed to get away from that. It's not really the hot topic right now. A lot of it, I think, has to do with the body positivity movement and all that stuff that was going on. And it was like all of a sudden taboo to talk negatively about your body and say that you needed to improve on things. So I was like, okay, this will be interesting to see like how I think everything's cyclical and it's starting to come around again. But, you know, broadcast is sort of a dying medium and the online stuff seems to be where it's at. So now I've kind of shifted a little bit to doing instructional stuff on my YouTube channel with little tips and a lot of stuff on social media. And I still hear from a lot of women who are, you know, buying the book and then they want to know where to go shopping still. So still important to get that information and that message out there. I'm just kind of adapting to the times, I guess, and the way to do it. Exactly.
One of the things that you just mentioned was that we're into body positivity and talking about bras was a negative thing. How could it be a negative thing if what you're saying is, well, maybe the negative is what you're wearing isn't the right one for you, but it doesn't sound like that's really, you're not saying anything about somebody's body.
Right.
You're just telling them, you're advising them on what could not only make them look better, but feel better. And it sounds like we have things so mixed up that we're going off, you know, to the other side when we really need to get back to, you know, what's important.
Well, you know, what was happening was all these shows, they had to have something really dramatic and impactful. And so everything was a bra makeover. Everything was a makeover, right? So you'd see the women, like I'd have these women, my mom was one of the models for one of them. My mom, who was 60 years old at the time. And she was like, I can't believe you're making me do this. Go on national TV and everyone now has seen my boobs. But she was like, you see the woman in the before looking all depressed and droopy and everything else. And then the after I worked my magic or whatever it was, they'd be like this. And I think that was kind of why when you're talking about body positivity, it was kind of taboo now to say there was anything wrong with her in the first place, that sort of thing. And that's kind of what happened with shapewear and everything else. All of a sudden it like wasn't okay to say, oh, I have thick thighs. What can I do to make them look slimmer? Oh, I have muffin top and all these things that we would do in all these segments. People aren't really doing anymore. Women are embracing. You have Lizzo, you know, in her lingerie and she's like a full figured woman and she's amazing. And so like to take women and say, oh, they want to change this about themselves, it just isn't working in the current state of things.
I still don't understand how a bra is. I
know,
but I don't put a bra into the same category as shapewear.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess we couldn't show it without showing the negative. I don't know why. I mean, I have a TV background, so I understand why they did it, but I guess they couldn't show the proper fitting bra without showing the negative, like what they were doing wrong before that. So it just became taboo to tell women that anything was wrong with their body. Despite the fact that women are still out there constantly saying, I'm so uncomfortable, can you help me? You know? Yeah. So, and the last 2 years, I was the spokesperson for Soma on QVC. So it was interesting for me because I was still giving my advice, but I was trying to figure out how to do that on a sales type platform. And it was an easy brand to work with because I was recommending their products to everybody anyway. They definitely fit what I would recommend to a lot of women.
Right.
But it was just interesting to shift from being the your breast friend who's just giving you advice to sort of now I am kind of selling something to you in a sense, but it's something that's going to help you, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we learn this as young girls when we first, you know, they use, I don't know if they still do. I have two boys and they're grown, but it was a training bra when I was growing up. That's what they called it.
Well, yeah. That's why I wrote Gigi Gets a Bra, because I have a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old girl, and they both of them started wearing bras already. My 10-year-old has been wearing them for 2 years now. She wears like a little sports bra. And so I was like, wow, this is happening earlier and earlier where girls are developing. And now I'm getting all these parents, like you even have like single dads who are like, we have no idea what the heck to do with this situation. So they were asking for advice on that. So that's what kind of inspired me to do that. I was like, okay, now I really need to do something specific to help break the ice with that conversation, like make that an easier first step. You know, because you have all these women too, who have like these negative stories about their first bra experience, like you were saying earlier. And so I think that we can kind of alleviate that a little bit too, and make that more positive from the start. And if we start them off positive about bras, then maybe as they go throughout their lives, it won't be so negative.
Okay. You learn something new every day. You have two daughters. Mm-hmm. You have a dog.
And two boys too.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
You have four children. Do you have two children, yes. Two stepchildren? That's a total of four.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Nice big family.
All under the age of 10.
How are you guys?
We have two dogs and a cat. Two dogs and a cat.
Four children, two dogs, and a cat. I read someplace
exactly.
You put on 20 things that people wouldn't know about you. How about giving me maybe
two? Oh, yeah.
What are two really fun things?
Oh, my gosh. My life is like an open book. So I had an interesting childhood. My dad was, he had a day job, but he was a musician. And so he had some kind of interesting things that he dabbled in, and he ended up writing and publishing the theme song for Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson was a family friend of ours and was over all the time.
over our house
watching football with my dad. Yep. So that was kind of my first taste of like, you know, we would go out to dinner with them and people would come up and ask for autograph and like interrupt our dinner and all that stuff. And so I was just always fascinated by that. So I got kind of a taste of that early on. My dad would have these like famous friends around randomly. So that's kind of something that I guess people wouldn't know. The other thing is something that people wouldn't know. Like I said, I am like an open book.
Well,
literally. So
what is something interesting then?
I've never been on a roller coaster ever.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm kind of a wimp. And so I don't do anything daredevilish, and that includes roller coasters. And when I tell people that, they think that's the craziest thing ever. They're like, how could you have never done that? And I'm like, hey, I go on TV in front of 5 million people and it doesn't scare me. So just give me a little bit of credit here. I'm not a total wimp.
Well, Shanae, this has been great. And if people want to learn more about you, where should they go? Do you have, you mentioned a YouTube, do you have YouTube? I mean, website, where should we send them?
Sure. Just JanaeLuciani.com. And that connects to my YouTube channel and my social media pages and everything that you would want to see. And I have a separate, The Bra Expert page on Facebook and on Instagram. So if you're looking for more bra specific stuff, you can go to The Bra Expert page on Facebook and kind of find more specific little fun tidbits related to bras there, as opposed to just my stuff and all about me.
Well, Shanae, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been quite interesting.
I'm glad.
It's really been interesting.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And it was nice meeting you.
My pleasure.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Upper Deck, the national full-service virtual gym that has reinvented the at-home workout experience. Upper Deck has more than 30 strength and cardio classes a week. Named Best Fitness Club in the Gold Coast for 2020, Upper Deck brings the gym to you with live coaching and motivation. Upper Deck's unique classes are interactive. They have two coaches, one leading your workout and one keeping her eyes on you, providing feedback and encouragement in real time. For a free week of unlimited virtual classes with no strings attached, email info@upperdeckfitness.com and let Upper Deck know you're a Sylvia and Me listener. Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. This has been a Life of Prey production.